Welcome back to Triple F Fantasy Football with Fritz. I'm your host, Joseph Fritz. We will be talking about which QBs you should have on your team, which ones will be the best going on through the season of 2020. We will do QBs, running backs, wide receivers, and so on. So let's get it started. Our number one pick for QB this year is Lamar Jackson. I know, no big surprise here, right? Some people would have put him second, some people would have put him first, or even third. I could see that. But I'm putting him first this year. I do think the Baltimore Ravens are going to the Super Bowl, and that's why I picked him number one, because last year he was number two. He had 3,000 yards, 3,127 yards passing, 1,206 yards rushing, with a total of 36 passing touchdowns. So, I mean, he's just a beast, you know. Their defense wasn't the best last year, and that's why they lost to the Titans. Now their defense is super good now, and I think they will ultimately be the champion squad this year. Number two, Patrick Mahomes. No surprise there. Now keep in mind, these are bold predictions, okay? These are what I feel is going to be the top 10 for each category, or top 20 for wide receivers. Anyways, Patrick Mahomes. So last year he didn't play, I think it was maybe two games. I think it was two games, maybe more. And he threw for over 4,000 yards. He had 218 rushing yards and only 26 touchdowns. Not as many touchdowns this year, only because, you know, he was injured for a few games. Tyreek Hill was also injured that year, and it was just a shaky offense that they ended up pulling together because everyone started to be healthy towards the playoffs. I don't know. I do think he'll throw for over 26 touchdowns. I believe that. I don't know if he will go to the Super Bowl this year, but hey, our fantasy season ends before that, so we don't have to worry about it. Now, number three, a lot of people will probably put him maybe in the fifth spot, maybe less. I got Dak Prescott. Now, last year, he threw for 4,000 yards and 4,902 yards, had 277 yards rushing, and 30 touchdowns. Okay. Now, the reason people would put him further back is because, one, they fired their head coach, and now they have Mike McCarthy. Two, they have a different offense coordinator. And three, because he's been fidgeting with his deal. I feel like he's always been great, but because of the contracts, he's been like holding out, you know, and his true potential. So now that they have CeeDee Lamb, who is a monster, just like DK Metcalf was last year, I think they have more weapons for him to throw to. Now, number four, we're going to go with Matt Ryan. Yes, you heard me correctly. Matt Ryan of the Atlanta Falcons. Now, most of you don't know this, but each year he actually posts in the top, I think, eight for most consistent QBs And that's not just top eight for, like, only consistent QBs. That means, like, top eight out of every QB in the NFL. Last year, he threw for 4,466 yards. He also did have 147 rushing yards with 26 rushing TDs. Now, I mean, 26 touchdowns and one rushing TD. I forgot to mention this for the past one, so I'm going to mention it now. Lamar Jackson had 7 rushing TDs. Patrick Mahomes only had 2. Dak Prescott had 3. But yeah, so Matt Ryan, he's got Calvin Ridley, who's starting to look just like the two pairs of wide receivers that they have in Tampa Bay, which is Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. It's looking like that for the Falcons with Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. I mean, they did lose... what's his name? Hooper last year. But they did get Hayden Hurst. Now, a lot of people were downgrading him because he didn't get a lot of receiving yards last year. But he wasn't used in receiving, you know? He was used mainly for blocking, but his receiving yards were pretty good for what he got. And it's starting to show. We are 2 weeks into the 2020 season, and Matt Ryan is looking like a boss. Even though they're 0-2, he is throwing to everyone. You could literally pick up almost any Atlanta wide receiver in the past 2 weeks. You could have picked him up and got over 20 points. You know, that's how good their receivers were catching the ball, you know. So that's why I have him at number 4. Number 5, Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson threw for 4,000 yards last year. 4,110 last year with 342 rushing yards, 31 passing touchdowns, and 3 rushing touchdowns. I always put him in the top 5 just because he's a very consistent one, but he also has that unique quality that most QBs don't have, which is the escapability, and you just don't know what you get with him, you know. So each year I put him in the top 5 because he is top 5 worthy, but he could either go up to maybe, you know, top 3, or he could drop down to top 8, you know what I mean. So that's why I put him there. Their defense is always shaky each year. Last year they were good, but they had a lot of loose pieces. They're still figuring that out. But they do have great weapons in DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. Now they have Greg Olsen, which is great. They still have Will Disley. Chris Carson's starting to look healthy, so he's getting more involved. They did pick up Carlos Hyde, so that's a good thing. Moving on to number 6. And this is probably going to be a big surprise, because he never really makes it into the top 10 for QBs and fantasy-wise, just because he's a GOAT. Yes, I'm talking about Tom Brady. He has recently moved to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and his first game was not so well. Huge part to do with the coaching, and also to do with Mike Evans. Mike Evans wasn't really... He was just letting it go by him, you know? If you saw the game, one of the interceptions was totally on Tom Brady, but the other interception, that was on Mike Evans. Now, there is downside to Tom Brady. He is in Arians' scheme, you know? He's not with Bill Belichick anymore, so... That is very shaky, and it scares me a little bit, but it also has huge upside, because Jameis Winston, the old quarterback for the Buccaneers, he was the only QB last year to throw for 5,000 yards. Yes, sir, I said it. 5,000 yards. Because he had the weapons. He had Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, O.J. Howard, and Cameron Brate. Right? Now, this year, they have even more weapons. Okay? Because they picked up Rob Gronkowski, who loves Tom Brady. And Tom Brady loves him. Because that was his main connection. But not only that, they picked up Leonard Fournette from the Jaguars. So now I think this team offensively, if they can get their defense like rolling, they're going to show out. And that's what they did in week two. Okay. Last year, though, Tom Brady threw for 4,000 yards, 34 touchdowns. I mean, 34 yards rushing. Of course, because, you know, he's not really a rushing QB. 24 touchdowns, but he did have 3 rushing TDs. And that was with only one wide receiver that was mainly healthy. And that was Julian Edelman. Now he has a lot more. So I think he's going to show out. The only downside is he might have more interceptions. Because last year with Jameis Winston and the Arians system, he was 30 for 30. You know, so there's always downside. Number 7, another big another name that people wouldn't expect to be this high, Josh Allen. Yes, I said it, the Buffalo Bills QB. I always loved him coming out of college. I am kind of mad that the Buffalo Bills picked Jake Fromm, just because I love Josh Allen this much, and Jake Fromm's my alma mater QB from Georgia, but I gotta pick him. This year he has even more weapons. He has Stephon Diggs, you know, and that's huge, because last year he only had John Brown, Cole Beasley, and probably Isaiah McKenzie. That's not a good wide receiver setup, you know what I mean? And he still went to the playoffs, threw for over 3,000 yards, 510 rushing yards, and 20 touchdowns passing and 9 rushing touchdowns. Yes, 9, which is 2 more than Lamar Jackson. And that's why I have to pick him. Because their defense is so good that it carries them, right? But now that they have this huge weapon in Stephon Diggs, he can do even more, you know? So that's why I put him at 7. Number 8, Drew Brees. Yes, sir, he missed 6 games last year, and Teddy Bridgewater got a fill-in for him. But now he's back, and back at it again with a vengeance, because they should have been in the playoffs. They should have won that game and gone to the Super Bowl. And now he's mad. He's coming back. Last year, he had 2,979 yards passing, almost 3,000, with missing 6 games. He had 27 passing touchdowns and 1 rushing. Now, Michael Thomas did miss last game, which that was tough. That was crushing. I couldn't believe they lost to the Raiders. But that's their huge weapon, you know. That's one of their mains. Now, I do think the Saints D is good, is a very good D, but I don't know. We'll see. They have some weapons in New Orleans, not as many as Tampa Bay, but they have Michael Thomas. They got Alvin Kamara, who's becoming more of a catching back. And then they have a backup running back who likes to catch too, and Latavius Murray. They have Emmanuel Sanders, who I think he's going to be a sleeper. They have Jared Cook, who's a great tight end. So we'll just see. I think he can be potentially top 5. Now moving on to number 9, A-Rod, Aaron Rodgers. Yes, sirree. 4,000 yards last year with 183 rushing, 26 touchdowns and one rushing touchdown. Now, his receivers and running backs were predominantly injury prone, so they would miss a couple games. Their vibe was all over the place. They couldn't really work as a team. They still managed to get wins, but some of the games last year were shaky. They should have won, it shouldn't have been that close. But you can never put Aaron Rodgers outside the top 10. He has such a great arm. You can't put him anywhere else, you know? And that will be it for the QBs. Oh, wait, I forgot my number 10. Baker Mayfield. Ooh, I've been waiting to talk about this guy all year, bro. They got Austin Hooper, David Njoku, Odell Beckham, Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, Jarvis Landry. Like, come on. This is literally the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of the AFC. That's how many weapons they have. Now, you got to keep in mind the first two games for every team, you know, none of these teams had preseasons. They never had mini camps. So they didn't have a lot to prepare for. I do think he will make it into the top 10. We'll see. I think they're starting to get back on it once they just got this win over Cincy. And hopefully they get out of this funk. Last year he threw for 3,827 yards. He had 141 rushing yards, 22 passing TDs, and 3 rushing TDs. And they also did get a better offensive line this year, so we'll see. I feel like there's great things to come from Cleveland. Now, with all the injuries coming on, I will drop this one hint, and I was saying it from the beginning. My sleeper pick for QBs would be Cam Newton, because I already knew he was going to the New England Patriots. Yes, sirree. I was hoping he would too, because he's going to bring something to Bill Belichick's game that he never had. A running QB. Can you imagine that? Imagine Bill Belichick getting all these rings with Tom Brady, and he's not even a rushing QB. Now, add a second factor that defenses will not be able to contain. He's a great passer, and he's also a great runner. You'll be like, what the hell's going on? You know what I mean? Not to mention, Patriots already have a good defense. Let's get it going, guys. That's my sleeper. We'll be back after this next commercial. Welcome back to Triple F with your host, Joseph Fritz. Let's go ahead and get started on our running backs. Now, due to injury, I had to change out a few places. So let's go ahead and get it started. Number one, Ezekiel Elliott. Now, he has a great team in Dallas, and I do think he'll be one of the most consistent running backs now due to recent injuries. I just hope they can get their team together. If not, Elliott could see some downside. Not significant downside, but some. Last year, he rushed for 1,357 yards with 420 receiving yards and 13 touchdowns. It's impressive. It's impressive. So, we'll see what he's got. Number two, we have Christian McCaffrey. Now, he's a beast, but he's also injured for 4 to 6 weeks. So don't start him for 4 to 6 weeks, but I am still putting him number two because I had him at number one and I'm going to drop him down. But last year he had 1,387 rushing yards with 1,000 receiving yards and 15 touchdowns. They got a new QB in Teddy Bridgewater. They have more weapons in Carolina. Now, last year they only had Greg Olsen, Curtis Samuel, and DJ Moore. Now they have Curtis Samuel, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and who's the other guy that they picked up? Can't remember, but they have a better receiving core, so he's not going to be the only one that the defenses focus on. So I believe he would get more after he comes back from injury, of course. Number three, Alvin Kamara. Yes, sirree. He did miss some games last year due to injury, but now he's got that big new contract, and he's showing out. As you can tell from the past two games, he's been great. Last year, he had 797 yards rushing with 533 yards receiving and 14 total touchdowns. I don't know what else you can say about Alvin Kamara. I think he's got a lot to prove. A lot of people are like, oh, he was so great the first year, and now he's starting to look like David Johnson going into decline. And I feel like that's totally wrong. I feel like he's better than Ezekiel Elliott, honestly. They just haven't been rushing him. They haven't been giving him the yards. They haven't been giving him the touches. As many as Ezekiel Elliott gets per game, Alvin Kamara has not seen that many touches. Let's move on to number four. Number four, Nick Chubb. Yes, I said it. The Georgia Bulldog himself. The one protege of Todd Gurley. Nick Chubb. The Browns, underdog, running back. Last year, he had 1,494 yards rushing. That was top five in rushing yards. 278 receiving yards and 10 touchdowns. What can I say, man? He's gone bonkers this year. He's, even with Kareem Hunt going off, oof. He's one of the best running backs right now out of these two games just because of how many weapons they have on offense. So they can put him in any time. He's like, hey, I'm not going to play this down, they can put Kareem Hunt in and then rest him up. The backfield and the wide receiver core that the Browns have is, ooh. Ooh, I can't tell who's better, the Bucks or the Browns. Let's move on to number five, Dalvin Cook. Last year he had 1,135 yards rushing with a total of 519 receiving yards and 13 touchdowns. Now, the Minnesota Vikings did lose Stephon Diggs, which was a huge weapon. So I do think his receiving yards might get a little bit more. I do think he'll be covered more. I don't know if he'll have as many rushing yards. I don't know if he's going to break the 1,035 yards. He might. We'll see. Hopefully the Vikings can pull it together. Other than that, he's a top five running back for me. Number six, Aaron Jones. This monster can run. He did miss a couple games last year due to injury. He had, I believe, 1,084 yards, 474 receiving yards, and 9 touchdowns. 472 receiving yards, not 4,000. He's playing with Aaron Rodgers, you know. I love that. I love that QB so much. He reminds me of Brett Favre, not going to lie. But their offensive line is great. The only thing they need to work on is their D and being more consistent. And hopefully they can get more weapons. Hopefully they can get him more involved in the receiving game so that their big weapons like Devontae Adams don't get injured as much. Okay, moving on to number 7. This might come as a shocker to most. Keep in mind, this is counting injuries. So Saquon Barkley, he's out for the season. So, cut off. I had to cut him off my list. He was originally number 6 for me. But that guy got injured, so he's out. And they didn't play him last year at the Rams. They only played him at 50%, which he ended up getting at 857 yards rushing, which is very good compared to what he could have gotten. This is at 50%, mind you, behind the worst one of the worst offensive lines, which was the LA Rams, right? And compared to Matt Ryan, an unexperienced QB in Jared Goff. Now, I feel like there's huge upside for him in Atlanta because of two main reasons. One, offensive line is way better behind the center at Alex Max. And two, they told us that they would be getting him more involved in the receiving area for running backs. And if they play him more than 50% of the snaps, I'm guaranteeing it, he's going to have 1,200 yards at the end of the season. Last year, he had 857 rushing, 207 receiving yards, and 12 touchdowns. Okay, that's more than Saquon Barkley had. Saquon Barkley had 10 touchdowns. Mind you, they only played Todd Gurley 50% last year. Moving on to number 8, Derrick Henry. The king himself had 1,500 yards last year rushing and 206 receiving and then 18 touchdowns. Now, they lost Marcus Mariota, which I don't know if that's a huge deal, but they did lose one of their biggest weapons for the rushing game. They lost their tackle on the offensive line, and he's now in Cleveland right now. So that's a huge deal for Derrick Henry, especially when you're an in-between-the-tackle kind of guy. So I don't know. I feel like his rushing yards will deplete by maybe like 100, maybe 200. But who knows? It might not have that much an effect on him. Now, number 9. At number 9, we have Austin Eckler. Now, this bitch was a beast last year. And I already called it, too. I said that last year that they didn't need Melvin Gordon. I said Eckler is their new running back. That's all you need. And what happened? He showed out. He was a beast. He was a catching back. He was a rushing back. He could do everything, bro. Now, they did lose a big weapon in Phillip Rivers. Now, they did have the number 6 pick, though, of the draft, and that's when they got Justin Herbert. Tyrod Taylor didn't show out as much as we thought he would. Now, I do believe that they said that Justin Herbert will be the starting QB at least for week 3. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. I do believe either way he'll be good. Just because Tyrod is more of an experienced QB. And he's also a rusher too, so he can get out of... he can stay out of being injury prone, is what I'm trying to say. And that's why he's number 9. Number 10, Chris Carson. This guy was my underdog last year, along with Eckler. He was injured maybe 2 games last year. It was brutal for Seattle, man. They were so close to being the championship squad. Because if they would have beat the San Francisco squad last year, man, Green Bay would have had nothing on them. But Chris Carson, he's not as much of a receiving back as Eckler is, but they are starting to get him more involved. And that's why I think he's going to be number 10. Now, I had to do 2 extras just because Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey, you know, injury. So I added two more running backs just for you guys. At number 11, we have Josh Jacobs. Now, I didn't predict him to be top 10. Just for this one reason. It's the Raiders. And they just moved to Las Vegas. You know, I didn't see a lot. I felt like he had more of a decline. Now, after seeing these last 2 games, he has changed my mind. He is injured a little bit. He's questionable. So that's why I still put him at 11 and not inside the top 10. But he's been a monster, man. They have Darren Waller. They have 2 QBs that they could use. I hope they'll start... If they start using Marcus Mariota, Josh Jacobs will be a top 10 QB, top 10 running back. Just for the simple fact of Marcus Mariota wasn't being used the right way in Tennessee. Marcus Mariota is more of a pro type of player. He likes that more setup more. He can run and pass, you know, just like Cam Newton, just like that underdog. But they didn't use him as... They always made him rush more often than not than passing in Tennessee. So that's why I feel like if they use him, Josh Jacobs can be top 10. They already have Darren Waller for their tight end. They have Jason Witten, who will be good for blocking. Now, I don't know about receiving for him, but they have Tyrell Williams, Henry Ruggs, Hunter Renfro, which even last year they did pretty good with just those wide receivers. And they had Derek Carr. But Derek Carr is not really, you know, that great of QB. But he's doing good. Josh Jacobs is doing great this year so far. So I say he's a number 11. Now, number 12, Joe Mixon. Last year he had 1,137 yards rushing, 287 receiving yards, and 14 touchdowns. I do believe if Cincinnati can help, better their offensive line, I do believe he can... probably get more than that this year. And that's why I have him at 2. My Bengals haven't been good or consistent as they usually are, so I just have to see. But I do see some... I feel like Joe Mixon, because everyone underestimates him, I feel like there's nothing but upside for him. So if you're going to get Joe Mixon, don't trade too much for him, because you shouldn't. You know, you could get him for a steal, bro. Just trade smart, okay? Be smart about it. Now, once we get back from our sponsor, we will be talking about wide receivers. Welcome back to Triple F Fantasy Football with Fritz. It's your host, Joseph Fritz, and we will be finishing up this half with wide receivers, okay? My favorite of all, wide receivers. To start it off, we will be going with the number one pick, which you guys most likely all know, Michael Thomas himself. The king of the receptions in PPR leagues. Last year he had 149 receptions, yes sirree. And he also almost cracked the 2,000 receiving yards with 1,725 receiving yards and 9 touchdowns. Now, he did miss week 2 due to injury. I do believe he'll be back by at the very least week 4. I don't know about week 3. I wouldn't play him week 3 just to be safe, just in case they sit him out, because he is playing the 5:20 game on Sunday night. So you'll have about half the games are done. At least, actually more than half. So I would not play him week 3. But no, I have him as the number 1 wide receiver. Number 2, Davante Adams. He did miss maybe one or two games last year due to injury. He had 83 receptions, 997 yards, and 5 touchdowns. He was very close to beating that 1,000-yard mark. I do believe he'll be more healthy this year. I think he's going to be a monster. I feel like Green Bay feels they got cheated. Or humiliated is what I should say by San Francisco last year. So I feel like they got something to prove. A-Rod's a great QB, so I feel like he's got upside no matter what. Number 3, my favorite wide receiver, actually my second favorite wide receiver, Tyreek Hill. Now, Tyreek Hill was very injured last year, yet he still managed to get 860 receiving yards off of only 58 receptions. Yes, sir, I said it correctly, only off of 58 receptions. He also got 7 touchdowns, and last year, because of the injury, they didn't use him a lot. In the rushing game, they like to use him on jet sweeps, you know, that type of stuff, wildcat, whatever you want to call it. But since he was injured, they didn't want to risk it. Now, he's also known, he's a triple threat to me, because he can do rushing, he can do receiving, and you know what the third is? Did anyone say it? Nope. Special teams, bro. He is a god. He will come for you, man. Like, once you need it, he will bring it. Just in the random spots, too. It would be the weirdest games. He'll get a punt return for a touchdown or a 40-yard punt return, which helps you in your fantasy. And that's why I have him at number 3. Number 4, Julio Jones. Julio Jones is just like Michael Thomas. One of the most consistent receivers ever, with 99 receptions last year and 1,394 yards receiving and 6 touchdowns. That's also due to the fact that Calvin Ridley is starting to step up. You know, they're having 2 great wide receivers just like the Bucks, whereas Michael Thomas is just the predominant receiver that everyone hits, you know, whether it be Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Brees or Taysom Hill, you know what I mean? So that's why he only has 6 touchdowns. But I feel like now that they have Todd Gurley in the backfield this year, I feel like they will get him involved enough into the receiving game to where they take coverage off of Julio Jones, because they don't know who to guard, whether it would be Calvin Ridley, who's now maturing to be a wide receiver 1. Yes, I said it, a wide receiver 1. or if they should guard the unstoppable Julio Jones. You know, they don't know. And that's why he's number four. Number five, Amari Cooper. The first game of the year in 2020 wasn't as great as I thought it should have been. You know, they did lose, and I would never have guessed for them to lose that game. They should have lost the Falcons game if it weren't for the onside kick. But he still managed to put up numbers, and that's why I like him. Last year, he had 79 receptions with 1,189 yards receiving and 8 total touchdowns. I do think they will be better because their defense has gotten better. Not to mention, everyone's contracts are updated, so now everyone's happy. Let's move on to number six. Number six, DeAndre Hopkins. Yes, sir. The new and improved wide receiver for the Cardinals. Now, I believe that he'll have an even better season this year. He's got a very young QB, fresh legs, huge arm, just like Deshaun Watson, but younger. Okay? Now, their defense might not be as good as Houston's, but their receiving core is actually better than Houston's. So now they have more weapons. They won't just be primarily focused on, you know, Hopkins. They have Larry Fitzgerald, very consistent wide receiver. They have Christian Kirk. You know, they have all these big players that they can throw to. Not to mention, they got to keep their eyes on Kyler Murray. Last year, he had 104 receptions, 1,165 yards, and 8 total touchdowns. I do believe he'll get 10 this year. That's my guarantee. Number 7, Chris Godwin. One head of the two-headed snake in the wide receiver quarter of Tampa Bay. He had 86 receptions last year with 1,333 yards and 9 total touchdowns. Oh my gosh, he went off last year. He was better than Mike Evans, and that's when he broke out. I do think that because Tom Brady is a passer, he will have no, you know, like, he would just be passing it all day because he has the weapons to throw it to. He's got Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, O.J. Howard, Rob Gronkowski, now Leonard Fournette, who also should be on your radar to pick up. And who's that other one? Cameron Brate, if they would decide to go with a 3 tight end set. You know, so I think he's going to be great. Number 8, DJ Moore. Yes, I said it. A Carolina Panther, you may ask? Why would he be in the top 10? He was consistent last year with an unsteady QB carousel last year, too. You got to remember that. Cam Newton was injured almost every game. So they put in Kyle Allen every other game, and then for the rest of the season. So last year he had 87 receiving yards with 87 receptions with 1,175 receiving yards and only 4 touchdowns. But that's due to the lack of leadership, because their QB wasn't prepared. So I do believe now that they have Teddy Bridgewater, who's a very experienced QB, and I see very good upside for. And they picked up Robbie Anderson, which will be another threat for this core, which is great. It's what they needed. I feel like he'll be a good QB, a good wide receiver to pick up. Number 9, Keenan Allen. Now, a lot of people would probably put him lower just because they lost Phillip Rivers and the QB situation's not going so well. Screw you. Keenan Allen is a very consistent wide receiver no matter who is throwing the ball. he will catch it. He had 104 receptions last year, 1,199 yards receiving, and 6 total touchdowns. He had the same amount of receptions as DeAndre Hopkins, but with more yards. So, I don't know. I feel like he's going to be good this year. Mike Williams is healthy, so everything's good, which, if you guys didn't know, Mike Williams also put up a 1,000-yard season last year, too. So, we'll see how it goes. Number 10, we have... Where is it? Number 10, Stephon Diggs. Yes, sir. That's why it's called Bold Predictions. Stephon Diggs was so great last year in Minnesota. He had 63 receptions, 1,130 yards receiving, and 6 touchdowns, man. He's going to Buffalo, okay? This team had a 1,000-yard receiver in John Brown. This guy, really? John Brown? Like, come on. They had a horrible receiving core last year. Now just think of it. Put Stephon Diggs in there. The deep threat. They already know John Brown can catch because he had a 1,000-yard receiving year. Not to mention they know that Cole Beasley is just like Danny Amendola back when they had him with the Patriots at the slot. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of options. And I see a lot of upside. Nothing but upside for him. Number 11, Mike Evans. Yes, sir. I put him in the conversation. I did 22 wide receivers this year just because you have to play 2 each week. Maybe 3 depending on if you want to put him in the flex. So I'm giving you guys extra. No charge needed. Okay, Mike Evans had 67 receptions, still maintained a 1,000-yard season, and had 8 touchdowns. And I believe he was injured. Maybe 1 game, maybe 2 games. Wow, that's impressive, bro. Now they have the GOAT for their QB. Let's go. Let's go. Nothing left for him. That's all I have to say for him. Number 13, Tyler Lockett. He's starting to get more consistent since he broke out in, I believe, 2017, maybe 2018. I can't remember. He had 82 receptions last year with 1,057 yards receiving with 8 touchdowns. I don't know. I like Tyler Lockett. He's the safe pick, you know? He's like on the verge of being a wide receiver 1, but a wide receiver 2. So it's a safe bet. Number 14, we have... Wait. I messed that all up, buddy. Okay, number 13. Number 13 was Tyler Lockett. Number 12 is what I forgot to do. Julian Edelman. Now that they have Cam Newton, off to the races. Nothing but green grass ahead right here, man. Last year, he had 100 receptions. 1,000 yards. 1,117 yards and 7 touchdowns. That was with Tom Brady, okay? Now just imagine it with a rushing QB and Cam Newton. Did you guys see the last 2 games he was in? Holy crap, bro. They lost to the Seattle Seahawks last night, but he managed to put up 72 fantasy points. 72. 72 for Cam Newton. Like, come on. Now you see the upside for Julian Edelman. I mean, you have to see it. That's a no-brainer. Number 14. Let's get back on track. Number 14 will be Odell Beckham. I have him low just because there's so many breakout stars this year. So many. And he didn't do as well. I mean, he got a 1,000-yard season, but everyone thought he would have done better. Probably, you know, up to the level of Julio Jones, which is 1,300, you know. Last year he had 74 receptions, 1,034 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Yes, a sad 4. So that's why I have him at 14. I do believe he'll be a top 15. I believe he could be a wide receiver, a wide receiver one, instead of wide receiver 2 this year, because of this one reason. They have so many weapons now in Cleveland. That's the only reason. Last year, yeah, they had weapons. Yeah, but they were injured. Njoku was always injured, so their tight end situation was horrible. Their offensive line was injured, so it kind of halted the offense. The only really bright spot you could see from the offense was mainly Odell Beckham and Nick Chubb, you know? So yeah, that I do believe he has the potential to be a wide receiver 1. Number 15, Calvin Ridley. Yes, sir. He did miss a couple games due to injury last year. He only had 63 receptions with 866 receiving and 7 touchdowns total. Now, if you haven't been following this season, past 2 games, he's been posting, depending on what league you're in, he's been posting 25 to 35 fantasy points per game. For a potential wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3, in whatever league you're in. Like, what? Are you kidding me? Like, you would not have guessed a wide receiver 2 / wide receiver 3 to put up wide receiver 1 numbers. You know, not 20 to 30 points per game, you know? Like, shoot. I feel like he has tremendous upside here. And that's all I have to say. Let's move on. Number 16, T.Y. Hilton. And you're like, T.Y. Hilton? Ooh, I think he's out of his prime. Well, last year, look at this. He missed almost half the season, still maintained to get 5 touchdowns with a QB who was a third string to Tom Brady. And he was practicing mainly with Andrew Luck, who decided to retire right before the season. So, you do the math. 501 yards receiving, 5 touchdowns, and 45 receptions. That's all I'm going to say. They have Phillip Rivers now. Let's go. Better defense. Anyways, number 17, Adam Thielen. I have him lower because I don't feel like he's going to put up as many numbers. I mean, he's going to put more numbers up than he did last year because he missed 6 games. But only because they don't have a lot of receivers. I mean, most of them are rookies, so they're going to see a lot of mistakes from them. I don't know. Last year he had 30 receptions, 418 yards receiving, and 7 touchdowns. Wow. 7 touchdowns. Can you believe that? Missing 6 games. Whew. That's the same amount of touchdowns as Tyreek Hill, Julian Edelman, and almost all these other players. Number 18, Robbie Anderson. Yes, sir, I said it. Robbie Anderson. He's been a maniac, man. He's been doing so good with the Panthers this year. Last year he had 52 reception and was injured mainly. Had 779 yards receiving playing for the Jets. Like, I felt bad for him, not gonna lie. 5 touchdowns. It's the Jets. But he's been going off with the Carolina Panthers, so I feel like there's tremendous upside for him. Number 20, Juju Smith-Schuster. Now he's back from injury and he's healthy. Last year he only had 42 receptions with 552 yards and 3 touchdowns. And that was also with Ben Roethlisberger being out. Now Juju, I feel like, will hit at least 1,100 yards this year with 8 touchdowns. That's my prediction for him. Just the only reason why I have that is because their defense is very good, and now everyone's healthy. They have Ben Roethlisberger healthy. They got an extra addition in tight end with Eric Ebron. Vance McDonald's healthy again. James Conner's healthy finally. Like, everyone was injured, yet they still managed to be, I believe, a wild card team last year with a third string QB. Like, come on, you know? So that's why I see there's a lot of upside with Juju. Number 21, AJ Green. He didn't play at all last year because he was being safe. He's fully healthy this year. And I have him at 21 just before the simple fact of it's the Bengals. And it's the Bengals. but I do see a lot of upside with him just because they have a young QB who can throw, no doubt. I don't really like him just because I didn't want to see him on my team. But he is a good QB. And they have a good wide receiver core. You know, they had Tyler Boyd, John Ross. Those are three fast guys, you know. I do believe if they can get over their hump and get their first win, AJ Green could possibly see 1,000 yards. Possibly. He hasn't had one of those in a while. And I think he can do it. So, number 22 and the last one of today for wide receivers, Terry McLaurin. Yes, sir, I said it. You won't believe me, but he had 58 receptions, which is the same amount of receptions as DK Metcalf, who came in that same year, right? He had 919 yards receiving, which is actually more receiving yards than DK Metcalf had. And he also had 7 touchdowns, which is also tied with DK Metcalf. But playing for Washington. For Washington, dude. This guy almost cracked 1,000 yards playing for Washington, who had 3 different QBs playing. Case Keenum, Alex Smith played for a little bit, and Dwayne Haskins. Like, come on. This guy is an underdog, and he's going off right now this year, too. Got 30 to 33 fantasy points last game, depending on what league you're in. I see a tremendous upside for them. And we'll be back after this break. Welcome back to Triple F. It's your host, Joseph Fritz. We will be talking about defenses, tight ends, and kickers to finish off the episode. Number one, I won't get into stats just because, you know, it's nothing really exciting. It's just tight ends and defense. So let's go with it. Travis Kelce, of course, the Super Bowl reigning champ, tight end, probably everyone's number one pick for tight ends. He's a freak, man. Just a freak of nature, man. And that's all I got to say about him. I think he'll break 1,000 yards again receiving because of Patrick Mahomes at the helm. We'll see. Number two, we have... Austin Hooper. Yes, I know he's not doing good these past two games. But game three is against Washington. And I feel like after that win over Cincinnati, they're going to be tight. And Austin Hooper is going to shine. I do believe he'll have 1,000 yards, or at least close to it, now that Njoku is most likely not going to play. But yeah, that's my prediction. Number three, George Kittle. Of course, everyone thinks he's great because he is. Another Super Bowl tight end that didn't win, though, so he's not the champ. But he's also a freak, too. He's a great tight end. You should choose him. but he is injured. So I don't know if he's going to be playing this week. If he is, start him. If not, you can also always get Jordan Reed, who's showing out too, and is the one of the new tight ends acquired by the 49ers. Number five, Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz, I mean, number four, Zach Ertz, the tight end for the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, he's been doing mediocre compared to what he usually plays. I think it's mainly due to the fact of the whole COVID stuff, but I don't know. Dallas Goedert, the backup tight end, is showing out more points than him. So, I don't know. We'll see. I feel like it's just the, you know, you see it every year, maybe two games, maybe three, where the backup gets more points or more receptions or more targets just because of who they're facing. So, it all depends on matchup. Number five, I have Rob Gronkowski. Yes, sir. This is bold predictions, okay? For a reason. I have him as top five because I believe that they will have such a great connection between Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski that they could possibly enter the NFC Championship. That's how great I think their connection could be. Now, the past two games, he hasn't been shown out, but he most players have been shown out. Number six, we have Hunter Henry. He's a beast, no matter what you look at it. You know, he is injury prone, but he's a top five, top ten tight end. You got to have him in the conversation. Even with Phillip Rivers gone, he's still bringing it. You know what I mean? So he's number six. Mark Andrews, Baltimore Raven, number seven for me. I wouldn't really usually have him in my lineup. I don't really trust him just because he only had one good year. You know, I don't like where was he before. You know, I don't trust his consistency. I like consistent. So, but you can't deny how great he was last year. So I have him at number seven. Darren Waller at number eight. This rookie is consistent. He's not injured a lot. He's playing for a mediocre team who was bad last year. And yet, he's still a very good receiver and blocker, so I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of upside there. Number nine, Evan Ingram. I don't know. I feel like he's going to get more targets now that Saquon is out. But I don't know if he'll have the same amount of receptions. Receiving yards. Just because of the whole Saquon being out for the year. Number 10, and this will come to surprise everybody, and yes, I said everybody for a reason, Hayden Hurst, the one tight end that got traded to the Falcons. Now, I already said this in the episode, everyone doubts him because he wasn't a receiver, and he was the second/third string. I think he was second string, but you can never tell. They only used him in blocking, and that's what made it great. He blocked so well, and that's what's going to help the Falcons. If they can stop choking, you know? They choke on so many games. I feel like if they get him more involved in the receiving yard, in the receiving area, he'll be a beast. Now, on to the defenses. We have number one, Ravens, okay? Ravens, they got Calais Campbell on the defensive line, which is where they were struggling last year. They added so many weapons. They just have so many weapons on defense now. I believe they are a champion squad, and that's all I have to say about their defense. Number two, my Bills, my underdog Bills. this team is a consistent defense now. Always should be picked. You can pick him up late. Some people don't pick him up just because it's the Bills, but Bills defense is great. There's no getting around it. That's all I can say about it. Steelers, number 3. Another AFC North team. This team started to come out right when they got what's his first name? Minka, I can't even pronounce his first name. Fitzpatrick, the cornerback from Miami. Ever since then, their defense has been driving as a group, you know, and they're very good. They have a very great defense, so that's why I have them at number 3. Number 4, Pats, the most consistent defense ever. And that's all I had to say. Number 5, 49ers. I have them lower just because they got rid of a few huge pieces of their defense this year. Some of them went to the Colts, some of them went to other teams, so that's why it's just like, last year they were number 1 for me, and no one believed me until they saw it, but this year I think they're going to be number 5. Number 6, the Saints. The Saints. I love that slogan. The Saints, they just have such a great offense that I believe that their defense can rally behind it and get more stops. They got Malcolm Jenkins. They got all these great weapons, you know. It's just, they've always been a consistent defense. Number 7. The Bears. With Khalil Mack, Leonard Floyd, all these great players, Roquan Smith, they've always had a good D. The problem with the Bears has been their offense. They can never get their offense. The Bears have been notoriously known for their defense. It's just how they play, you know? Number 8, the Vikings. Now, last year, they were they're in the top 5 for me. This year, just because of the offense. That's the only reason. They lost some pieces on their offense. I don't know. I don't know if they'll be top 5 this year. So that's why I have them at number 8. Number 9, the Chargers. The Chargers were great at defense last year. Now that they have Chris Harris Jr. in their secondary, just makes it even that much better. They got Melvin Ingram. They got Joey Bosa. I mean, come on. This is looking like a great team, you know? They just got to work on their QB situation and we'll be good. Number 10, the Colts. I have the Colts on there because they added some pieces on the offseason. They got the guy, I think it's Armstead from San Francisco. Last year, they were actually a top 12 defense. They were very consistent, and their secondary is getting better. Not to mention they have an actual QB this year. So, it's looking good. It's looking good. Now let's get into kickers. Kickers. Number 1, I have Justin Tucker. Of course, everyone knows him. He's now the most consistent kicker you can pick. It used to be Adam Vinatieri and Steven Gostkowski. But now Gostkowski isn't playing for the Patriots no more. He is playing for the Tennessee Titans. So, he's out. then it would be Harrison Butker for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, only reason why I pick him is he's very accurate and they score a lot. And that's all you need. Number 3, Mason Crosby. He plays for the Green Bay Packers. They score a lot of points. He's very accurate. That's all you need to know. Right there. Number 4, Will Lutz, the kicker for the Saints. That's all I gotta say. Number 5, we have... Where is it? Joey Sly. Plays for the Carolina Panthers, has a huge leg. Now, he was a breakout star last year, and he did amazing. He was very accurate. I think he can do good again, even with a good QB and more weapons. So I think they're going to be doing good this year. Number six, we have Zane Gonzalez, Arizona Cardinals. Number eight, Greg Zuerlein, Dallas Cowboys. Number nine, the kicker for Atlanta. I can't pronounce his first or last name. He's been going off. He's actually one of the best kickers right now. And then number 10 kicker is my boy, undrafted free agent that took over for the number one spot, even though he was supposed to be the number three kicker until Adam Vinatieri retired. Rodrigo Blankenship. Oh, man. I believe in his career at Georgia, he only missed two or three, I think. He was one of the most accurate kickers in college football. And he's showing it, bro. He's killing it right now in the for the Colts. So that's all I got to say. Thank you for listening to Triple H. Good night.